Logic dictates that given their extremely high level of technical development...
Well, it's too technical to explain to the lay mind.
Welcome to Talking Technicals here on Money Life, where it most assuredly is not too technical for us to explain to the lay mind. We're digging into what the experts we talk with are seeing in the markets, charts, and graphs, and numbers. And today, the expert we're talking with is Buck Clintworth. He is Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel, which is online at chaseinv.com. And by the way, he's one of the managers on the Chase Growth Fund, which is CHASX, if you're looking to follow it and see what it's doing by ticker symbol. Buck Clintworth, happy holidays. Welcome back to Money Life.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
There is plenty of headline risk. There's plenty of stuff that people are talking about that is scary. But what we talk about that is scary isn't technical analysis until it shows up in the charts. And what the charts are saying is markets at record highs. We just crossed 45,000 on the Dow, all these other good things. So is this like party till there's no more alcohol to fuel this party, or it is time to go? Last call is here.
Well, all the underlying fundamentals of the market are positive right now. So if you ask, how's the health of the market? I could answer, great. And you could say, thanks for coming on the show, coming up after the break. But, you know, let me caution you with this. If you think the market can't go higher because of the run it's been on this year and the last 2 years, let me give you a couple stories to put into context. In the spring of 95, I was in college, and I was talking to my economics professor. The Dow Jones had been in a bull market for 4.5 years, and it had just broken 4,000. I said to him, market's had a good run, but I think it's gotten a little bit ahead of itself. And he agreed with me. Dow Jones went up for another 4.5 years, nearly tripled from the time I said that it had a good run. Then you jump ahead to 2009, and on March 9th, the stock market bottomed before beginning a historic bull run. About 6 months into that run, I began to hear rumblings, and to be fair, it was from historic bears, along the lines of, well, the market's had a good run, but that mantra continued the next year and the next several years, and that good run but lasted for 11 years. The average bull market lasts for about 3 years. That's just the average. So don't think that it can't go on longer or that it can't end next week.
That being the case, which do you think is more likely, obviously recognizing that if it goes on longer and it doesn't end next week, it will end at some point. Do you have a sense of where we're going to meet resistance?
You know, you're right. All bull markets end at some point. If we look at the last time we talked, that was back in May. At that time, I talked about the signs of a strong market, growth stocks doing better than value stocks. That's still happening. An increase in demand in smaller stocks, still happening. A broad market rally as opposed to just a handful of stocks driving the way. That's happening. You know, even the things that I talked about that were sort of wishy-washy, things like investor sentiment and some market breadth, those have gotten stronger. Everything's gotten stronger. There's an old adage that we like to say, which is the trend is your friend. Right now, the market trend is higher, and you don't want to abandon your friend until there's reason to. Market technicians love to pat themselves on the back and make predictions. We're not always right. Back in May, I said, well, we could be moving into time where the market's going to trade in a range because of people are going to look at interest rates and they're going to look at the election. They're going to wait to see what happens. I hope you didn't pull all your money out of the market then, because you would have missed out on the move up. I don't have an idea of when things are going to change, but you'll just want to keep an eye out for any cracks that begin to develop.
As far as this market and what you're seeing broadly, maybe moving away from technicals a little bit. I mean, this has been a very narrow market. So if we're going to keep the party going, are we going to see stocks that maybe haven't participated as much taking over? And we've already seen some of the Magnificent Seven be less than magnificent, but is it going to be a broadening, or is the only broadening going to be, hey, everything AI is going to drive this market and everything not AI is not going to drive this market?
AI was the really hot thing last year and this year. You know, recently, you know, over the last month, you've seen things like cryptocurrency driving things and anything related to cryptocurrency. So you've certainly had headline things that seem like it's a narrow market, but you've actually seen a broadening of the market. If you look at how small cap and mid cap things have done this year, even though they may have lagged a little bit behind the larger things, they've done much better than they have in previous years. So that's sort of the beyond the headline thing that's happening. Now, when you go ahead and look at the Magnificent Seven, it's actually a good sign to see the market moving higher and not having those Magnificent Seven stocks all leading the way. Certainly, NVIDIA has led the way this year amongst those stocks. But you want to see those names that you may have thought about 10 years ago but haven't participated. You want to see them recovering. And that's what we've seen. And it's good to see a number of names in the consumer space do well. Of course, if tariffs do happen, you're going to have a reaction from them. So when you look beyond the headlines, things are actually a little bit better than you might think when you just look at what's splashed up on CNBC.
Looking at the fact that we've got administration change, et cetera, when you have so many unknowns, but they're known in terms of we know that there's an event that's going to happen. I mean, we know we're seeing an administration change. We know we're seeing policy change. We don't know necessarily the extent of the policy. Well, we went through the election where the market just couldn't wait to have some certainty. I'm not sure it cared who won. I think it cared that the election was over and that they were confident that the results were going to stand. It's like, hey, we have a winner. Is this rally in any way muted by the fact that we have so much uncertainty about policy stuff and things that you can't chart?
I don't think it's muted by that, but you're right. The market does love certainty. You know, if you look at things like tariffs or how quickly interest rates are going to come down or what policy changes are going to take into effect. Since the election, the market has rallied. And so the market seems to be saying everything's great. Now, there's something called the efficient market hypothesis. The idea being that the market takes everything into consideration and is perfectly priced. If that was the case, you could never really make money in the market because you wouldn't be able to buy something that's undervalued or sell something that's overvalued. Everything would be perfectly valued. In this case, what you're seeing is the market saying everything seems fine now. Certainly, when policy changes begin to take effect, you're going to see the market reaction. And when that takes place, you're going to see a change in market leadership. Now, if you go back years when Democrats took control of all the branches of the government, you had things like, for instance, for-profit education stocks fell, some healthcare stocks fell. With Republicans taking control of the presidency and having control of both houses of Congress, you're certainly going to see some different market leadership. The key thing to watch is which things that are the current market leaders now begin to lag. And you'll want to get out of those before they start going down and make their ultimate bottom and see which stocks are holding in better or leading the way now and go ahead and move into them.
Are there things that really stand out to you? I mean, are there sectors of the market or specific stocks where you're looking going, yeah, that's particularly attractive in these conditions?
It's more a case of what are some of the things that might not be attractive. A lot of names in the consumer space, in case tariffs are slapped on them, even though talked about, well, the market's sort of taking that into consideration. I think the market is figuring out more that it may just be talk about tariffs, not actual tariffs. So that might be something that you want to avoid or keep an eye on closely. Certainly in the financial space right now, the idea that there may be some deregulation in the financial space makes a bunch of the financial names attractive, whether it be banks or payment processors. So that's certainly an area where you've seen a shift in buying in those areas and moving out of some of the consumer names that may get hit hard.
Buck, really interesting stuff. We will be watching how it plays out. And of course, we'll talk to you again down the line, but that'll be in 2025. So happy holidays. Looking forward to the next conversation already.
Thank you. It's great talking to you.
That's Buck Clintworth, Senior Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Chase Investment Counsel, which is online at chaseinv.com. And again, Chase Growth Fund is C-H-A-S-X. And we are heading for home here on Money Life. Up next, it's big interview time. I'll be talking with Brandon Thurber, Chief Market Strategist at Regions Asset Management, when we come back.